Brand, it's great to be with you here today on this Church Tips podcast, and I am so excited. I've been trying to get this guy booked, not his fault, my fault, but just trying to get it to happen here over these last number of months, and I connected up with Walter Harvey from the great state of Wisconsin here last week, and I said, hey, let's get this recording done. And so, Walter, great to have you on the podcast.
Dick, it's great to finally be with you. That's good to be here.
It's all good. Well, you know, we want to jump right into our topic today, and that is succession planning in the urban context. Now, one of the things that's happening across the church world today is that the boomers, of which Walter and I are both boomers, and I'm a middle boomer, and he has pointed out to me that he's a little bit of a younger boomer. So I want to thank him for that reminder. And but they're moving off the scene. They're beginning to move towards retirement, and the next generation is coming up behind. And so how does that happen in particularly in the urban context? So Walter, take it away. Talk to me about what you just walked through and what pastors should be thinking about.
Yeah, well, Dick, my experience in the African-American church growing up is that generally there is one pastor. It's not multi-staffed. There may be ministers or people with the title of pastor, but generally they're not salaried.
Yeah.
And so the culture is that we help this pastor lead until they die. Or until they're no longer able to serve.
Yeah.
And then they're asked to leave or they're forced to leave. And so that's been my introduction to succession. Didn't know what succession looked like. I've seen, not literally, but I know of in my own city where pastors have died in the pulpit.
Yeah.
Right? They died with
you're in Milwaukee.
I'm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Literally have died with their boots on. Dang. as if that is a point of glory or gets you a golden chair in heaven. It does not.
Yeah.
That's not success. There's no success without succession.
Right.
And so as you mentioned in the introduction, we're both in the boomer age. I'm 63. 3 years ago, just before my 60th birthday, we completed a 18-month succession plan. My successor took the baton on March 24th, 2020, right? At the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic, when it was finally identified, you know, why we are wearing masks, why people are getting sick. We had already planned the succession, right, 18 months before. So going back for me, when I was 50 years old, I felt like God spoke to me and said, if I'm still in the senior pastor chair at my 60th birthday, I will miss the next season he has for me.
Hmm.
And so for 10 years, I was in succession planning. You know, the first conversations I had were just private. They were me and God.
Yeah.
The next level of conversations I had were me and my wife. Note to guys, open up and talk to your wife about what you're doing, right? She's been with you on the journey. She's going with you through the process, and she wants to be with you in the next season. So we privately had these conversations. And then thirdly, we have one adult son. We brought him into the conversation because he's also then and still is part of the church staff.
Yeah.
So the conversations have to happen. And then fourthly, I had private conversation with the person that I had identified and thought and felt peace about being a potential successor.
Yeah.
And it was highly confidential. But pastors have to know, the moment that you have that conversation with this person, they're going to begin to dream, right? They're going to begin to see themselves in this role with you or without you.
Yeah.
And so you're opening up not necessarily a can of worms, but you're opening up a realm of glory to them. A biblical example is Moses in the tent, right? In the tent of meeting. He meets with God. Who he takes with him is Joshua. So Joshua is exposed. He's a helper. He's pouring water on the hands of Moses, whatever. But when Moses leaves the tent, Joshua stays behind many times and lingers. So God's beginning to speak to your successor as he did with Moses and Joshua.
Yeah.
So I went through that process of conversation. And then in our church polity, I introduced the topic of succession to our church board. We have a board of elders. That's our polity. We don't have deacons, we have elders. So these elders and I had at least 2 months of conversation about the role of succession without me even mentioning. His name is Marcus, who's now in that role. Marcus at the time was he was auditing our elder board meetings. He wasn't even the elder at the time. So after 2 months, I say, hey guys, the reason we're having this conversation, I think Marcus is the person that is equipped and aligned and in position to take this church to the next season. So communication is important with God, with your spouse, with your immediate family, with your successor, then with your board. And then we did a year-long process where at our annual business meeting a year prior, we introduced succession. We introduced my transition out and his transition in a year before and gave the congregation a time to grieve. And congregations go through the grieving process, right? From denial to anger to blame to bargaining, finally to acceptance, and sometimes back and forth. But we pastored them through that process. Yeah. And then a year after, just before COVID, right, he's voted in, and then he takes the installation baton at the beginning of the coronavirus.
Wow. Wow. You know, and I've had the privilege of meeting Marcus, but man, you just, the Lord put that together for sure, for sure. You know, that whole sequence that you laid out there, really, I'd like to have you say it again. I know you said it, but so pastor, leader, board member, you're watching this right now. Get your pen and paper out, get your tablet, get your whatever, because Walter's going to give you the steps that he walked through. Those, I think I heard five sequences of conversations.
Yeah.
So give those to us again, and then we're going to unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, I'll give them to you again, and I'll even give you more specific timelines. So it's a 10-year process.
How long?
10 years.
10 years. Okay.
10 years. The conversation with me and God began 10 years prior.
So you're basically about 50 at that time.
Exactly. Yep. I'm 50 years old.
Okay.
That's
ahead of the game. I normally tell pastors to get after this at 55. So you were an overachiever.
I tend to be. I'm thinking I'm at halftime. I'm 50 years old. I've got another 50 years of life and health and ministry if God says the same. And then I have conversations with my wife, maybe 6-8 months after me and God are in this wrestling, this Jacob wrestling match at Peniel.
So first and, with God and then yep, your wife.
And okay. Then my wife. Yep. And my wife and I, and she's hearing conversations from God as well that I didn't even realize. She's like, well, I was just waiting for you to just, hear from God and come and talk to me because I've been sensing this happening for a while. So when I speak to her, there's confirmation. That's like 8 months after God drops the seed in my heart. And then about a year later, we have conversations with our son, who's on staff then and still now as the media director. Okay. So for the next 5 years or so, I'm looking for my successor in the congregation, in the community, in the country, right? I'm on a leadership search. And I see a couple of people, a couple of guys.
And I'll bet this is probably not advertised, right?
It's still private.
Yeah. You're surveying the landscape.
Yep. I'm surveying the landscape. And I'm looking at a couple of people and I think like Samuel, Abinadab, Shema is here. Surely the Lord's anointed. And God's like, nope. They're not the one.
Yeah.
I had a premature conversation with one person that didn't go too well. Because when I had the conversation with them, it was like, hey, great, I'm ready to go now. When are you leaving? I was like, oh, that's not the one, right? That's ambition. Right. But Marcus was on the spot. Marcus went through a process of development. When I realized he's the one, I brought him in as part of the teaching team. This is about 5 years before the handoff takes place. And then I made him a commissioned local church minister. And then I brought him in as an auditor on the elder board so that he can begin to see, all the ins and outs of leadership. And then eventually he became an elder And of course, within that 5-year process, I bring the conversation not only to him and his wife, and they pray for about 6 months privately. And after they give the confirmation, then I bring the conversation to our elder board. And then we have about 2 years just as an elder board to carry this thing, to steward it, to pastor it. The congregation had 18 months of foreknowledge before the actual installation took place. During the 18-month period, Marcus finished up his job as a full-time school principal in our public school system. So he's a high-level leader. He's a high-capacity leader, right? He's leading a staff of 50, you know, teachers and janitors and counselors. He's doing a multi-million dollar budget. So he's got those transferable skills.
Yep.
So for 9 months, he then comes on staff at the end of his summer school year. And for those 9 months, we are passing on relationships and we're modeling, co-leading for the congregation. He's given the title of senior associate pastor because we had other associates as well.
Sure.
And that's another topic too. How do the people who don't get hired, who are on staff, you know, how do you process them? So that's somewhat of the timeline for us.
Well, how did you do? And by the way, I want to mention that as you've just described this, I know we led this when talking about succession planning in the urban context. I'm hearing what you've just said to me applicable in virtually any kind of church I've come across. I don't think what you've done is unique to the or that process, that sequence to the urban context. Man, I pastor. If you're in the urban, you're in suburban, you're in rural, man, I'd be listening to what Walter just had to say, because I think he truly listened to the mind of the Lord going forward. Okay, give me a pitfall or two that you maybe observed or you could suggest to pastors, you might want to watch for this as you're navigating along. And I didn't tip you off with that in advance.
No,
so I don't know.
That's all right. I think the first thing we have to watch is our own heart, right? Okay. We have to make sure that we have a heart of David and not a heart of Saul, right? Okay. Saul was intimidated by the songs that were being sung about David, right? He's cool with killing 1,000, but you're ascribing 10,000 to David.
Yeah.
And so there could be a hidden darkness in our heart that we're not really ready to pass the baton,
yeah,
or pass the ball. This is where the urban context comes in, because I wrote a book called Alley Oop. Used to, you know, again, playing a lot of basketball.
Yeah.
And my goal then as a point guard was to, hey, I got more joy out of making an assist than I did of scoring. Okay. Right. It's exciting to, you know, to dunk the ball, to shoot the ball and see it go in. But I got joy out of making a successful pass and seeing others score. Yep. That's the heart of Saul. It's setting other people up for success. And then alley-oop is just setting up your teammate and making it easier for them to catch and dunk the ball. They score, the team wins, the momentum goes forward, the crowd goes wild, they buy into you. So first conversation or the first discernment needs to be our own heart.
Right. Yeah.
Secondly, I think we need to know the heart, you know, the character, the calling, the competency, the capability, the compatibility, you know, and a couple of more C's we can throw in there of our potential successor.
Yeah.
Because if there is ambition in their heart, and it's not filtered with a godly calling and character, then it can damage the relationship between predecessor and successor, but it also can bring a lot of damage to the kingdom. So those are two things we need to discern and watch for.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. You know, again, we stated that this is such this is just the elephant in the boardroom for churches across the country. Walter and I are part of a fellowship, a denominational fellowship. There are others that are independent, but nonetheless, just the wave of boomers now heading out the door and the new group coming up, to be able to steward this process, I think is a great privilege. Give us a parting shot here, Walter. Is there anything you want past? You got good men and women that are watching this. They're pastors, they're board members, they're just good folks in the church. What is it you want them to hear out of what we just talked about?
God is good. When he called us, his calling is forever. It's without repentance. Our career may not be forever. In fact, it won't be, right? We not only have a shelf life, but our careers have a shelf life. Yeah. And we have to become comfortable with that, that we're going to die, that that job is going to die, but the calling will not die.
Right.
There is life outside of the pulpit. There is flourishing. There is flourishing outside of the role of being a lead pastor in a church.
Yeah.
And there is so much that each person has experienced and picked up in life that God will never waste.
Yeah.
And there are opportunities, if that church and that successor is wise, for you to still add value right at your home church. And that's been my experience. I'm the apostolic leader, the apostolic papa of the congregation. And an apostle is one who's sent out, but I come back home. And Judy and I are blessed to still call Embassy Center Milwaukee our church home.
Well, that's absolutely beautiful, because so many pastors I've come across, you know, when they head out to retirement, all of a sudden, either they have to or they feel like, I got to leave. And they've invested years, decades of their life there, raised their kids there, you know, everything. So that which you just said to us, I think, is so critical and so important to factor. You know, Walter, I just have appreciated you as a friend over these years, and the content you just gave to pastors and leaders is so good. I want to thank you for taking time to be with me on the podcast today. It really has been my privilege to be able to hang out with you on it.
Thank you for the privilege, Dick.
Absolutely. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Church Tips Podcast. We love producing content for pastors and church leaders. I will say a couple of things. One, on this particular topic, if you have, you find yourself in your 50s or early 60s, and you're saying, I need to be navigating this succession planning idea, certainly feel free to reach out to me, dhardy@leaders.church, just dhardy@leaders.church. And I'll be glad to talk to you and either help in any way I can, advise you, get you directed, but to be helpful in that way. Secondly, all of us as pastors are continuing looking for ways to get better. And one of the things my son and I, Jonathan, as the co-founder of Leaders.Church, have produced is called the Four Secrets Masterclass. And if you'd like to jump into the masterclass, you can feel free to do that. Just go to leaders.church/secrets. Leaders.church/secrets, and we'd love to have you in on the masterclass. In the meantime, for Walter Harvey and myself, we've appreciated having you today. Make it a great one, and be blessed.
Hey, Jonathan here, real quick before you go. Everything in your ministry rises and falls on your leadership. So investing in your leadership is essential to staying healthy and growing the ministry. And that's why I want to invite you to join us inside the Leaders.Church membership. This online streaming service for pastors gives you access to more than 300 videos plus training material to level up your leadership and improve your ministry skills. If you'd like to do that, I want to invite you to go to leaders.church/boost. Again, that's leaders.church/boost. Well, thanks again for joining us on the Church Tips Podcast. We'll look forward to seeing you next time.